Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Morning. I'm allowed just a very short time, okay? My time is limited, all right? Because it's mostly Rob this morning. Just a little thought before we start. I keep thinking about that toaster, you know? It's kind of captivated me. I think there should be another rule. Nobody under 18 and nobody over 70 should use the toaster, because, you know, I live with someone in our house who's over 70 and they could trip and they could fall into the toaster. They could, if their eyesight's not going and they won't have glasses, then, you know, they could not see something. So I think there's other possibilities for that toaster. Do you agree? There's all sorts of things.
Are you talking about Robbie?
Well, I don't know, Joss. But I don't live with anyone else, actually. Okay, right. So this is really Luke 3, Luke 4. And this is a very important bit about someone who needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I think you'd be quite surprised, because you come to Jesus' baptism. Remember? You will know these verses in Luke 3. It says, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized as well. And as he was praying, heaven was opened. And guess what? The Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you're my son, whom I love. With you I'm well pleased. Now there's an interesting thought, isn't it? Even Jesus needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm glad I've only got a few minutes, because this could get us into a very deeply theological discussion here, because Jesus was part of the Trinity. So he was part of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but he was also human. And I think that's probably why he needed to be filled with the Spirit. But if you puzzle about it, don't worry. Just ask Joss when you get home, because he will know all things. And he'll be able to explain to you all about the deep theological significance, yeah? Great. But Jesus needed to be baptized and filled with the Spirit. Just remember that. And then in chapter 4, do you remember when Jesus was tempted? Interesting that that verse says, Jesus, verse 1 of chapter 4, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and then was led by the Spirit into the desert, where he was there for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. The Spirit led him in there. Sometimes we find ourselves in very difficult situations and we say, oh, it's a demonic thing that's happening. Well, actually, not always. Sometimes Jesus allows us to go into things that are really tough, but his Spirit is with us there. So Jesus was led to be tempted into the desert by the Spirit. And then at the very end, it says in verse 14, after the temptation, after all that and having that battle with Satan, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Isn't that amazing? So Jesus couldn't have done all those things without the power of the Spirit. That's it, Rob. Done my little bit. I can go now. I've finished. Lovely to see you all.
No. Yeah. You shouldn't have finished there.
No, well, that's the main bit, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is the main bit. Just so that you know, we're going to nip off before lunch. So won't say goodbye now, but that's... It's probably because getting up the M6 on a Sunday is not always nice. So it's been lovely being with you all and getting to know some of you a bit. So you've got to keep going for it, yeah?
Can we just give our appreciation?
Oh, that's so nice of you, thank you. Marion should really go on for longer. What she omitted to tell you was that the thought about somebody older falling into a toaster is that because, you know, we have an older friend comes and stays with us occasionally. And she wasn't wanting to say that in case you wondered who the older friend was. So just to clear that one up, you know, some of you may have thought she meant me. I can't understand that. Oh, dear. She always drops me in it on age. I don't know whether fellas, whether your wives and partners or anything like that, but... You know, it's like when I was 50, Marion would tell people Rob's sort of getting now towards 60. And if, you know, when I was 63, it was Rob will be 65 very soon. It never took me back, always projecting me forwards. And I thought, oh, charming, that's love for you, rather than trying to keep me young and vibrant, I don't know. There we are. Oh, just somebody dropped me a little. I noticed a text yesterday I'd got from friends that say silly things. And, you know, mentioned about yesterday about this, what was it, Friday evening, after we'd had this song in our church about the Trump shall sound. And he just said to me, imagine in America when the security forces and the bodyguards around Donald Trump are standing around. If somebody takes a pot shot, they'll have to call out, Donald, duck! So, I thought that was quite good, actually. I thought that was really good. But you get silly little things like that going round, don't you? And, I don't know if anybody told you this morning. I don't think anybody stood up at breakfast, but just to let you know, apparently somebody, maybe Lynn will know, I don't know, that somebody has actually nicked all the gates around the centre. I don't know if you... Did you hear that? Apparently somebody has nicked the gates and the barriers and things, which I think is... Well, I think it's awful. But apparently they think they've been to the police, and the police think they know who's done it, but they won't follow it up in case somebody takes offence. So... But it'll be all right. We'll find our way out all right. We really will. Okay.
Listen, our verse in Word for Today is about always tell the truth.
Bless the good folk.
Absolutely, thank you. There's always a few exceptions, aren't there? So I was thinking, you know, how I'd love to take the whole scripture, really. We tried to take quite a bit of the scripture, Old Testament, New Testament of it. Well, that is the scripture, isn't it? But taking, and not the Apocrypha at the moment, anyway. Take the Old Testament and the New Testament to actually outline this thing about the Holy Spirit, because we're not in a fad or a phase, and we're not in a time where, you know, we're just going to pick out the odd verse and try and make it fit. And I started on Friday evening by saying about trying to be faithful to the word, and yet there being interpretation and spin, and not using spin in a negative connotation. But you know, so what you'll have heard from us is what we believe the word of God says, interpreted as many others would interpret it, but certainly the way we see it, with inevitably our slight spin on it. And that slight spin has come because my whole life as a Christian changed when I allowed the Holy Spirit to work in me. And that was the only spin, is that therefore when I see verses about the Spirit, I can't just say, well, the Holy Spirit, who happens to be a person of the Godhead. I've got to say, the Spirit. So, you know, and I'm quite convinced, actually, for all of us, that's not going to be something with which you cannot agree. The most important thing has got to be something within which we live, not just with which we agree. But when I was thinking of looking at the whole of the scripture, I thought I'd just sort of tell you the Bible. I don't know how quickly can you tell the story of the Bible. I don't know how quickly, but I can do it in 50 words. So, I mean, do you know the Bible in 50 words? Well, okay, let me tell you. I'll just tell you the Bible in 50 words, okay? God made, Adam bit, Noah arced, Abraham split. Joseph ruled, Jacob fooled, Bush talked, Moses balked. Pharaoh plagued, people walked, sea divided, tablets guided. Promise landed, Saul freaked, David peaked. Prophets warned, Jesus born, God walked, love talked, anger crucified, hope died, love rose, spirit flamed, word spread. God remained. Hey, there you are. So you don't any longer need to do the Bible in 365 days. You've done it in a few seconds. Oh, how crazy. How crazy can we get? Okay, so what we want to do this morning, and obviously Geoff and I have talked a lot about this, is that we spend a fair bit of time is praying and worshipping together. But a few other things I'd like to say to you, and that is this. Right at the beginning of the Bible, and I mentioned this yesterday in saying the important times when the Spirit moved through Scripture and through life, but we have the first one in Genesis chapter 1, that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and the Spirit was hovering over the surface of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. The Spirit was hovering over the surface of the waters. And as I was praying and thinking about you here in Eastleigh and what we were going to do this weekend, this is what I feel. The Spirit is hovering here this morning, hovering over your church. He's hovering over every church. He's hovering over the church universal. But in a very specific sense, he's hovering here in order to do God's creative work. Because the Spirit was there present in creation. And it was through the Spirit that God created. Otherwise, the Spirit wouldn't have been hovering there. It doesn't just say that in the Bible. Oh, the Spirit happened to be hovering there. Just we'll put that in. The fact is the Spirit was hovering in order to do a creative work. And what I felt really strongly, and we've said it yesterday, so I'm only repeating it in another way, is the Spirit is hovering here, wanting to form something in you. And notice what happened when the Spirit hovered at creation. First of all comes light. And secondly, in general, comes life. Firstly, light, and then life. So, if you like to put it this way, as the Spirit, if you will allow the Spirit free rein here, first of all, he wants to bring light. Maybe it's new light, obviously. Fresh light. Then he wants to bring fresh life. And he wants to form something in you. I'll include myself in this because we're the same, but we're not part of Eastleigh Baptist Church. We're Life Church, Wilmslow. But he wants to form something in us. Not only does he want to form something, that form will be reforming, because it's a reforming of what we know and what we've been. But even more than that, it'll be a transforming, so that I hope within a year you wouldn't recognize yourselves, because you've actually... Is that a fair thing to say? Is that a good kind of vision to have about not being able to recognize yourselves as a church because God's moved you on so much? Is that reasonable? Or are we happy staying where we are? You know, that God moves us on, transforms us. And the whole thing is in order to conform us to what Jesus is like. To conform us to the kingdom of God. And it's Toby, chatting to Toby this morning. Toby's job is community minister. And obviously alongside Jonathan and others, is to get out and see the kingdom come. And we're kingdom people, aren't we? And do you know, the thing about us as kingdom people is that as kingdom people, we're caught in the middle of two things. Follow me here. We as Christians know from the Word of God how God designed the world to be. He designed it to be perfect. He said it was good, didn't he? He said it was good. And then, as Christians, we know that Jesus wants to come back again, and we know that he's going to make all things right. Am I right? So we, of all people as Christians, we are stretched in the middle of these two things. We're looking back saying, God, why did it go wrong? But we know ourselves, so we know why it went wrong, because we know if we'd been there, we would have sinned as well. But we're looking forward and saying, God, make it right. We want to be there. We want to be with Jesus. And oh, my arms are being extended like this. I'm being stretched. And God's saying, don't keep looking back. Don't just keep looking forward. Take great armfuls of the kingdom, because you know what the kingdom completed is going to look like, and dump it on the world in which you live today. Take armfuls of my kingdom and say to people, this is the kingdom of God. Don't wait till then. Don't look back and say, what a shame, what a desperate and dry culture. I started one of the verses from Isaiah about the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, on the dry and dusty ground, and waters will spring up, etc., etc. And so you and I, friends, we're kingdom people. And kingdom people means taking armfuls of righteousness and joy and peace and godliness and love and acceptance and bringing it by the armful into the places where we live. Am I right? Amen. That's what makes life exciting. It's like we've got near us a place called Shuffle Bottoms. It's a lovely word, isn't it? Shuffle Bottoms. And if you come to Shuffle Bottoms, it's all people that can't walk very well, who actually move along. Yes, no, I don't. Sorry, I'm a bit tired. I get more stupid when I'm tired. So forget that. Shuffle Bottoms is a place that is stocked. I don't know if Alan and Maggie remember it yet. It was a place that stocks loads and loads of material, and the material is they sell it at a really good price. And they have lots of materials that's remnants, but lots of material that's new, but it's almost at a wholesale price. And one of the things I love about it is they've got one of these fabulous great counters right in the middle of their place with a long, long, long sort of brass measure on it. And and if you want to look at a material, they go and get this great roll of material. It's a big roll. And they put it on the counter. So you're standing watching it. And they just unroll it on the counter. And they keep unrolling it until you say, you know, until it's measured for what you want and they cut it off. And that's the picture I have of us, of the kingdom. We're unloading this great roll of kingdom material. Pardon me, won't you? We're unrolling it. We keep unrolling it. And we'll never stop unrolling it. But in order to do that, we need the power of the Spirit. Because if we don't have the power of the Spirit, we'll just sink back into our own little lives, our own little corners, our own little thing. You know, that old chorus that we used to sing as kids, you in your small corner and I in mine. So theologically wrong. I mean, lovely for children maybe, but it's, we're not in small corners. We're together bringing armfuls of the kingdom. So the Spirit of God is hovering upon you and over you. Do you know, I've got so many things I want to say and I've got so little time to say it, so I've got to work out what I'm going to do. Will you just excuse me for a moment, because I've got a few bits of paper here. So talk amongst yourselves and I'll get there in 1 minute. Right, here we go. Great. Because you see, what happens is when the Spirit moves in, the church moves out. When the Spirit moves in, the church moves out. The problem with the charismatic movement, which you may or may not understand, but you know, when we as a church 50, 60 years ago, 70 even, began to realize that the gifts of the Spirit were for today, that the Holy Spirit we needed to pay attention to, and people started being baptized and Spirit filled with the Spirit. I was saying all that yesterday about, don't worry about the terminology, but recognizing the power of the Spirit. What happened was that loads of churches actually became inward looking. They started enjoying kind of spiritual gift fests and wonderful worship times, which are great. It renewed so many people. Certainly I was so touched and lifted. But actually, I began to realize that, do you know, I thought this move of the Spirit would translate into outward action. And it didn't seem to do that. And I remember sitting in a meeting with a guy called Terry Virgo. Some of you will know his name, one of the best known of the people that fathers in the charismatic thing who started a movement called New Frontiers. It was called Coastlands, then became known as New Frontiers, and many, many churches planted under that banner and they still go on doing it. I remember Terry Virgo coming to speak to a group of leaders And the phrase they used to use was, we're mending our nets. You know, that's what we're doing in Renewal, we're mending our nets. And I'll never forget the day that Terry Virgo stood up and said, hey, guys, because, you know, as far as they're concerned, all the leaders are guys. That's one of the difficulties there. But if it had been today, it'd be, I hope it would be guys and girls, but I'm not sure. Anyway, let's not go there. Guys, we've spent an awful long time mending our nets, and now the problem is most of us are sitting around embroidering them. Instead of embroidering them, let's get out and use them. And in an apostolic movement like New Frontier, it was like the kind of, come on, guys, let's, as a movement, let's begin. And actually, I have to say, loads of the New Frontiers churches have seen so many people come to Christ in their growth. You know, it's been great. So when the Spirit moves in, the church moves out. And if I can put another corny one in, when the going gets tough, the touched get going. So if you've been touched by the Spirit, when the going gets tough, if you've been touched by the Spirit, you'll get going. Honestly, folks, I've got to be totally honest with you here. I can't be two-faced about it. For Marion and me, all the things we've done, and God blessed us when we became Christians. God loved us. God gave us his Spirit. We tried to serve him. But any of the stuff that seems to have been anywhere near worthwhile, and God will judge that in time to come, has come since we allowed the Holy Spirit to come and work in our lives. Because we'd been touched by the Spirit, that's when things really began to happen. I don't think we would be where we are today if we'd just been sitting in a church doing ordinary things and not really opening up to the Spirit. So I've got a little piece of paper with me here. And I've never written this out on another piece of paper. When was it?
Rob,
yeah.
I need to tell them something about you.
What my next birthday is.
No.
Right, okay, good.
He writes all his talks on scrappy bits of papers, envelopes. He suddenly feels he's got to write something down. So you look at all these scrappy things. One day we were at something called Royal Week. It was tipping it down with rain. We were walking across this field, and he had all his talks in a folder. He used to carry them around with him in case he needed them, and he dropped them. And they flew all over this muddy field. And he's like, no, it's my talks, my talks. And the girls and I, they were quite young, we were running all over this field because it was windy, picking up these soggy bits of paper. And so we thought we'd done quite a good job, and we handed them all back to Rob, and he went back to wherever it was we were staying, and he went through them all, and I can't believe this, but at the end of it all, he said, there's one missing. How did he know that? These bits of paper, and it was true. Did you go and find it?
I did.
Yeah.
Of course I did.
So that's the thing, because I've often thought maybe I could, you know, publish all these talks. And I thought, no, I don't think I can face picking up all these little bits and pieces of paper. Sorry.
Well, no, you'd be blessed if you did, and others would be blessed as well, he said, humbly. You know, it's scriptural, isn't it? This merchant, you know, finds a pearl of great price and goes to every length to get it. That's what I was like with my notes. Just finding that nugget of gold. Yes, okay, I'm joking. So I've got this piece of paper here because years and years ago, having the great privilege of speaking to at Spring Harvest about the Holy Spirit, years and years, years in the Big Top, being able to talk about the Holy Spirit, which is just a wonderful, wonderful occasion. And sitting on the platform, because you had platform parties in those days, and looking at my notes, and those of you that have ever spoken at places where your heart's beating a bit faster, you sit there through all the worship and all the stuff, and you keep looking at your notes thinking, I'll be done in 5 minutes. This isn't worth it. I'm not sure if they'll ever want to hear any of this stuff at all. And then as I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, there's something I haven't said. And here it is, Celebration 2 in the Gaiety Theatre. Because the Big Top had been blown down that day. That's right, it was in the Gaiety Theatre. Saturday the 18th of March, back in the 1980s. And I wrote this down because God was beginning to say to me, about the Spirit, the moving of the Spirit, and taking the moving of the Spirit out. So when I say it, it's not the Spirit, it's moving of the Spirit. I wrote this down very briefly, lots of crossings out. I've said we've internalized it, verbalized it, rationalized it, tantalized it. In some circles, we've marginalized it, factionalized it, sectionalized it, trivialized it, and marmalized it. And if we don't externalize it and incarnationalize it, we'll end up having paralyzed it. That's why I felt so strongly about the moving of the Spirit. And I then said, we don't want the charismatic movement to end up as a catastrophic movement. And we've got to take what God's done in us and we've got to open the doors and let the power of the Spirit out. And so I suppose my plea to you, my longing for you is that you would be, I know you, and it's like I wrote up there yesterday, you're a great church. There's a lot of stuff going on. But just keep asking the Spirit, baptize us afresh. Baptize us afresh. Let the momentum, says the Lord, of my Spirit move you out. Now, I know you're doing a lot of things. I know you're doing a lot. I was just mentioning to Toby this morning. He didn't bring this up, by the way. We just happened to be sitting having a little bit of bacon and school tomatoes together. But we were actually just chatting away there. And I said to him that I come across a lot of church leaders and a lot of churches who are now doing a lot of community work. Fantastic amount. And I know you're doing a lot of community work. And I'm not saying, and Toby didn't say that this obtained with you, we're just chatting about it. What I find is lots of church leaders saying, do you know we're doing stacks of community work, but our people have forgotten how to tell other people about Jesus? So how do we translate our community work into being able to say to people, giving them a reason as to why we're doing it? We could go on for years helping people. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. Praise God if we're helping people, because Jesus went around helping people. But because we honestly believe, not because we want to notch up converts on our Christian belts and say another one, that's great, but because we really believe that the greatest answer to life's needs is Jesus, how do we introduce people to Jesus? And there's lots of different ways, but could I make one general thing? And I can't go on at length about this, we haven't got the time. And that is that we all seek God for some kind of prophetic ministry. We won't all be prophets, but that we seek God for the ability to speak to somebody, not just in the church, outside the church, to be able to speak a word that we feel God has given. Is that a reasonable thing? It doesn't have to be big. Like Marion said yesterday, don't have to say, thus saith the Lord. But that if God gives us something, that when we're talking to people, when we're going about our daily work, when we're meeting people as carers, parents, toddlers, the SAFE program, the people that Toby meets, etc., people that Joth sees and brings in, all this kind of thing, that part of us, not to a point where I must say something, help, is there an opportunity? But at the beginning of each day, Father, the people that I'm meeting today, would you give me a word that speaks into their situation? Just, it might be ever such a small word of encouragement. It might be a bigger word of knowledge that you could, in a sense, have no real idea of. It might just be a blessing. So in Life Church Bradford, used to be called Abundant Life in Bradford, one of the things they've had is an exercise of blessing. When they asked all their people, will you take 10 minutes every day to bless someone else? And so whether it was somebody in a restaurant saying, by the way, I would like to pay for that person's coffee, or the leader of the church actually saying this morning, just to give an example what I did, I paid for my car park ticket. And I noticed someone behind me. I said, how long are you staying for? They said 2 hours. And said, well, and put more money, said, oh, here's your car park ticket. You know, any way in which we can speak of God's kingdom rather than just be like ships that pass in the night. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I'm not trying to make it a big thing, oh, suddenly I've got to become this major prophet. I'm not saying that. It's just that we begin to open our eyes and we begin to wake up to the fact that the Spirit of God can use us to move in these kinds of ways. Because when the church moves in, when the Spirit moves in, the church moves out. Because God is not a stay-at-home God. He's not a sit-on-your-bum-and-keep-mum God. He's not a keep-it-to-yourself God. He's not a revel-in-heaven God. He's not a wallow-in-worship God. He's not an excited-by-exposition God. But he's a leave-your-comfort, get-involved-and-change-lives God. That's what God wants to see, is a change in lives, and so he'll move us out into mission. I must be fairly quick. Do you remember when John the Baptist was in prison? Can you remember that he sent people out to ask Jesus? He'd heard that, you know, this man that he'd sort of been around his baptism. He asked his friends, Go and ask him, is he the person that we're expecting? Is he the Messiah or is he not the Messiah? Go and ask him. So what we have here in Matthew chapter 11, you remember this, when John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one who is to come or should we expect someone else? And Jesus replied, well, go back and report to John what you hear and see. That there's religiosity, correct doctrine, neatness, order. People are becoming disciples, and disciples are becoming nicer people, and church happens every Sunday at 10:30 and 6:30. Is that what Jesus said? No. Are you the one who was to come? And Jesus says, go and report and tell him what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Wow. Wowee. Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if our churches actually were known by the fact that people, and I know your churches, people in need have been touched, that people in physical need have been healed, that actually people's eyes have been opened to see something that they never saw before, that marriages have been mended, that families have come back together, that young people are following Jesus. Wouldn't that be great? Yeah. I just love to see that. I long that for that for Wilmslow. I'm so frustrated. I hope it's a godly frustration, but I'm so frustrated. I want to see more. And thank God for people like Joff here. I mean, because you know, mate, if ever you were satisfied with what you've got, there'd be real problems, wouldn't there? Real. If you have a leader here, listen, if Joff stands up within the next year, if you've been even an eensy-weensy bit encouraged by what Marion and I've said here, you only have to be an eensy bit encouraged, because I know you know it anyway. But if off the back of that you get more excited and more, and stir up a bit more, go for it, okay? And put up with it. Because these guys, they want what God wants. And you want what God wants. So please be stirrable. Please, please. Marion, was it you, Marion, yesterday? I'm thinking about 100 thoughts in 1 minute. Somebody talked about some older people. Was it you? Yeah, you spoke. Oh, yeah, Simeon and Anna. Wonderful older people. Can I just say to you older people, do you know, the best thing, I was a Baptist minister for 12 years, so I kind of understand Joth's sufferings and and joys. The very best thing in Point and Baptist Church were encouraging people. And even the best of those encouraging people were people in their 70s and 80s who kept saying, do you know, I can't understand the music and sometimes the drums are too loud. And I wish there were more hymns, but I'm so with you. I so want to see God's kingdom come. That did me so much good. And the people that came knocking on the door saying, I don't like this. I don't want to put up with this. You know, you know, you love them, don't you? You love them just the same. But when they're gone, you're thinking, there's people that come up, say things to you at the end. I remember Spring Harvest once, this great queue of people. It's only the end of the Spring Harvest, so it's not thanking me. But I'd actually talked about getting into battle for God, and I'd just mentioned how, you know, things can turn on you, and I mentioned this farmer who was leading his ram down the road, and the ram kind of suddenly butted him and he fell into the slurry pit. You know, people were laughing, etc. And there's this great queue of people afterwards just wanting to thank me and others for the whole of Spring Harvest, not from what I've said. And they see this woman, about 16 people down the queue, and you kind of get a sense, you know, on her face. It's like... So as she comes up, I'm thanking Pitt. Thank you so much. It's been good to be with you. Thank you. Thank you for Spring Harvest. But today you mentioned somebody leading a ram down the road. Yeah. Yes, yes, I did, yes. Well, that was very, very unfortunate. And rams aren't usually like that. And for a ram to butt somebody into a slurry pit is not a laughing matter. And it's me. What do you say? Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. And you're thinking to yourself, on your bike, darling. But that pastoral sense won't allow you to do it. So people come and say things to you which seem to be very discouraging, and you love them just the same. But please, folks here, can I just say, do encourage the leader, encourage one another to keep going in the Holy Spirit, because it's that encouragement together that we really need. No, we haven't got time, but I've just got to tell you this. I'm sorry, being a bit silly this morning as well. I was speaking up in Scotland, this age thing came up. And I don't do it now because Marion's given away my age more or less anyway. So, but what I used to do was say, you know, we have 3 daughters and 6 grandchildren, etc. And they'd sometimes be aghast, you see. Oh, gosh, you don't look old enough, kind of thing. Well, that began to die away. So when I was in Scotland, I was doing this and saying it, and there wasn't a gasp. So I made some joke about I was expecting a gasp, but there wasn't one. And again, I'm standing at the door. Some people hurry past, but some people are saying, thank you, it's nice to meet you. And this little lady comes up to me, and she wasn't bent, but she was just, I'm trying to be short, but she was really little. She comes up to me. So you're Rob White? Says, yes, yes. Well, I've seen you on the platform at Spring Harvest. Oh, yes. And now I see you closer, you do look older than I thought you were. It's another way of saying, oh, thank you. Oh, thank you. What do you say to things like that? Oh, thank you. Well, I suppose I do. Yeah. Anyway, hey, here we are. This is good stuff, good stuff. So, how are we going to round off before we pray? We're going to round off with Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, which most of you will have been expecting. And I could love to have, just to help those of you who are truly biblical, to say I'm not plucking it out of context, would love to have kind of expounded the whole stuff around it. But you'll probably know as well as I do that Ephesians is a book which is teaching people that used to live one way to live another way. And saying, don't live like this anymore. Wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead. Get your lives sorted out. And towards the end, actually, so it's not right in the middle, are these verses. Let's start from verse 15. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know that that verse translated from the original is be being filled. That's why when I said, are you filled with the Spirit at conversion or subsequently, and I hadn't got the answer, is because we go on being filled. And the picture I always had was like somebody under a drip. You know, you have a saline or something drip, it's on a stand, and you've got the bottle hanging on the stand and it's in someone's arm. And it's like, and people have blood transfusions or whatever it might be. And being filled is like a constant spiritual life transfusion as we're open up to the power of God's Spirit continually dripping into us, feeding through us, and then out again so that we can give away to others. And it's being filled. But please don't escape the fact that that you think, well, I was filled with the Spirit at conversion. I didn't particularly know it, but I must have been theologically. That's what I think. So God's obviously doing it. There's this knowledge that he's doing it. And again, I want to be honest with you. I know whether I'm being filled or not being filled. I know it because I know that I'm not living in the fullness of God. I know when I'm not living in the fullness, and I hate myself for it because it's my fault, not his fault. But equally, I know when I'm open to being filled with the Spirit. So please don't think for a moment this is something that is just it happens to be happening. Hopefully it is happening because we're in love with God and we're in touch with God and we're having our devotional lives and we're open to him. But you will know whether or not you are being filled with the Holy Spirit and whether you're open to that. And can I say once again, I'll never say it again before we go, and I've only got a few minutes, there's not much chance anyway. So I'm not asking you to subscribe to a charismatic club or a charismatic box. I'm asking you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if that means that you have some great, wonderful festival times of worship, wonderful. Most of all, if it means you move out into mission and you take the kingdom of God out to others, that's the best thing of the lot. Because what does a spirit-filled person look like? Radiant smile? Always beaming? Big Bible under the arm? 37 revelations before breakfast? A spirit-filled person looks truly human. When the Spirit of God came on Mary, she gave birth to a baby boy, a human being, who was filled with the Holy Spirit. He happened to be the Son of God as well. What happens when the Spirit fills us? We become truly human. We become the kind of people that God always meant us to be. And other people look for true humanity. And Spirit-filled human beings are true, real humans. In My Fair Lady, I think it was Eliza Doolittle. I think she sang to the doctor. I'm not sure who she sang to. Yeah. I don't know if you remember this song. Words. Words. I'm sick of words. Sing me no more rhymes. Tell me no more stories. Show me. And I think if you could talk, that's in a sense, if a world could actually speak, it would say, we're sick of words. Show us. Show us Jesus. And you know, as we're filled with the Spirit, he shows us Jesus. Just a very brief word of my own testimony. I started the other evening. I really was brought up in the brethren. I really disliked everything that I began to hear about the charismatic things. Tongues, I thought, it's a load of gobbledygook, shove it out the way. People raising their hands, just emotional rubbish. I was hotly against it, to the point where I was sitting basically where you were sitting. So I'm not picking on you. Well, I'm picking on you, but not, you know, you're not a prophetic sign of this, by the way. And YWAM had come, Youth of the Mission had come to England. They landed in Crawley. And the first church to see quite a move of the Spirit, one of the first churches was St Barnabas in Crawley. And YWAM had been invited, and so they landed in Crawley. And they had a guy to speak at St Barnabas. I thought I'd go along to it, so I went along. And before he spoke, he stood up and he said, "Before I speak, I just want to say, young man over there, you're facing exams this week. You feel really anxious. God wants to set you free tonight. Young lady, you've got a real problem at home with your parents. God wants to heal you tonight." And then he looked down at me in the second row and said, "Young man, God wants to bless you tonight." And I thought, clever clogs. Who do you think you are? And at the end, he said, "Right, now those that would like to be filled with the Spirit, stand out in the aisle, I'll pray for you. And as I pray for you, I want you to receive the Spirit." So people stood out in the aisle. And I thought, I don't like this stuff. I really don't like this stuff. And he was going on. And I turned to my friend who was next to me and I said, "This is going too far. This is absolute nonsense. Let's get out of here." So he said, "Okay." So I wasn't going to do things by half. So I scraped my chair back on the wooden floor and I stomped out to the back. And I opened the door. And to give him his due, as I opened the door, he said, young man, don't go. I said, God wants to bless you tonight." Well, nobody spoke to me in public like that. So I said, "Thank you very much. He's blessed me already. Good night." Not a word of a lie. Not a word of a lie. And I went home to Marion. And when I went home to Marion, I felt something desperate missing in my life. I thought he was right. And it took me months fighting it out until I said, "God, come and meet me. Come and meet me." I don't mind whether it's baptism, the Spirit, Phil. You know, I said, I've gone through all that stuff. I want to meet with you. And do you know what happened when God, I won't go into the story, we haven't got time, but when God touched me in a specific time of prayer, I fell in love with Jesus. I've been a Christian for years, but I fell in love with Jesus. That's what the Spirit does. You fall in love with Jesus. So why don't we pray and worship him? Some of you stood up yesterday to signify that you were prepared to move forward. I'm so glad we did it that way because that was right. That's a moving forward thing. And it could well be you, or it could be that you feel you're moving forward anyway, and that's fine. It could be you that really feels, no, I need to be filled again with the Holy Spirit. Can I just make a plea here that if you know you're being filled with the Spirit and you are experiencing it, you know it, don't just think, well, Rob and Marion are here and others are here, and they'll pray a bit more blessing over us. You know, a bit of wandering blessing can always help. I want to be serious here. So those of you who know, I actually need to submit myself and be soaked again in the powerful Spirit of God. That's me. So can I just one moment of quiet while we kind of count, is that me? You'll pretty much know, but is that me? And if that is you, that you just say to the Father, "Father, will you come and meet me again? Meet me again, because I need, and don't forget, if you're prepared to do that, the Spirit could well take you out of your comfort zones, lead you out into the waters where there are no borders, that your trust is without borders. It's not a case of come and fill me, but I'll stay in my box. Thank you very much. It's come and fill me and take me where you want me. And if that's you, then I'd love to pray for you. And we'll never get to pray for each person individually, but in a moment, just ask you to stand and perhaps we could sing a song about the Spirit coming and... So if that's you and you're being honest with God, perhaps you'd like to stand up where you are so that I could pray for you. And And we ask God to come and fill us afresh. These are important times, so it's not, we're not playing games, and we're not just responding in a meeting for the heck of it, but we're really asking God to come and touch us deeply by His Spirit. So let me pray, and then maybe, Geoff, you could play and we could sing. And it's a song of calling to be in that river where the Spirit will come and take us afresh. So, Father, in Jesus' name, ask that You would come now by the power of Your Holy Spirit. And for those who are calling on You right now, come. Would You come, Holy Spirit of God? If you ever wonder whether we can ask the Spirit to come, I just go to Ezekiel where he was told to prophesy to the breath, and we read that the breath is the Spirit. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. And just say to the Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit, and fall upon these people, Your loved ones. Come and fall upon them with Your power, that You will breathe new and fresh life into them. That there be a reformation and a transformation, that there might be a confirmation to You and Your kingdom. We ask You to come in the powerful, powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, hear our prayer. Will you stay standing, folks? Let's sing this song. And I just wonder if you're sitting near someone that's standing, would you just place a hand on their shoulder?